Please turn to Proverbs chapter 9. We'll be there in a while. That song that was just sung, I heard it on Christian radio through the week, sung a number of times, "You're a Good, Good Father." How many of you listen to Christian radio sometime during the day? Oh, wow, this is great. That is about 95% of us. And I heard that song a number of times this week. And "You're a Good, Good Father, You're perfect in all your ways." And certainly He is. Reminding me of that phrase that we like to do from time to time. I say God is good, and you say all the time, and then all the time God is good. Okay, God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Wow, I had a guy say that in Chicago of all places, right, Don? He knew the phrase very well. Once in a while, I'll look at some Father's Day cards when we're out during the week before Father's Day, and saw one this week, and it just struck me because it said, "Hey, Grandpa," with an exclamation mark on it. Remember when a hamburger was 25 cents, a gallon of gasoline was 29.9 cents? I do remember that, by the way, and I'm not that old. Do you remember when a new car cost about $3,000? Yeah. Some of you do, some of you don't. And then the card read inside, "Times have changed, but you will always be priceless." Wasn't that a neat card? It was a neat looking card too. I didn't want to buy it and hold it up. It was $4.95. But anyway. We're going to start out a little different this morning. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs looking at ways a father taught a son, Solomon teaching his son, the things of God, the important thing. We're going to look at 8 important things that he taught his son. However, to start, I would like to go back to a Proverbs lesson that we had before a number of years ago. We did a short study on 9 things wise people do. There should be an insert in your bulletin on this. 9 things, and this is just an introduction, okay? This is just a little extra. Don and I were talking earlier in the week. I said, you know, Don, I can't set this thing aside. We're going to go into Proverbs. We're going to look at the things that a father teaches a son. But I just can't get away from 9 things that wise people do. And, of course, in the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs, the word wisdom carries with the idea of skillful living. Wisdom is having a skill to accomplish something. And, of course, you and I know as believers that that skill comes from God. In fact, wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. Now, I'm just going to basically mention these. The first thing is that wise people receive salvation from sin through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was the Apostle Paul who said to Timothy, young Timothy, "You have heard the Holy Scriptures from, by the way, your mother and grandmother. You have heard the Holy Scriptures, and they have made you wise unto salvation." So it's a very wise thing to do, to accept God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ and not reject God's offer to us. Secondly, wise people listen to instruction, especially the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning." We should never stop learning. No matter how old we are, we should always desire to learn more and more from the Word of God. The psalmist used the term to be taught of the Lord. And I remember Howard Hendricks at Dallas Seminary used to say, some of the guys, by the time they become seniors and they hear some biblical truth, they'd say, "Well, I've heard that before." And we never want to have that kind of attitude, do we? We want to be learners. We want to keep listening. We're open to the Word of God. Thirdly, wise people fear the Lord, and to fear the Lord means, and we'll be talking about this again, to have reverence and respect for God, for who He is. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10, is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom, to fear the Lord. Fourthly, wise people associate with wise people. This is why it's important. You spend time with your Christian friends. and develop new friendships along the way. Because as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And God wants us to develop new friendships. He wants us to spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ. Wise people associate with wise people. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will become wise. Number five, wise people preserve what they have gained and they use it. We have to hold on to some things. The Bible talks about a lot about, even in the New Testament, retaining biblical truth that we hear. Number five, wise people preserve what they have gained and they use it. Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge, the term is used. Number six, wise people flee from sin. And we've heard this 100 times. There isn't any Christian, no matter how long you've known the Lord, that is not tempted. We're all tempted. It's yielding to temptation where the sin comes in. We're tempted. And God wants us to flee from sin. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man who fears the Lord and departs from evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And Proverbs 3:7b, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Number seven, wise people guard their speech. Very important. Proverbs 16:23, the wise in heart teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Number eight, wise people are diligent in their work. Proverbs 10:4, diligent hands bring wealth. I can't tell you how many times I've heard some young people, I'm talking about teenagers, say they were working at this place, this business, and some around didn't care about their work at all. I know one teen was in a business and said that the teens wouldn't even call up when they weren't coming in for work, and they'd sign themselves out early without permission from the boss. This kind of thing goes on in our world, and you know, the Word of God says, whoa, be careful in these areas. Wise people are diligent in their work. Number nine, wise people seek to influence others to put their faith and trust in Christ. I have two references. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And of course, Jesus said to the disciples, from now on, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Very good. So just an interesting approach into the book of Proverbs. It's an awesome, awesome book. All the Word of God is awesome. A proverb, of course, is a wise principle stated in a concise and often poetic term. They're little short phrases in the book of Proverbs for the most part. In fact, I had a professor at Dallas Seminary. He defined a proverb this way, a short saying in the place of many words. In other words, sometimes these proverbs take a huge topic, but they're discussed in a very short phrase. And the purpose for that, back in that day especially, was to be able to remember the content of what is said. And of course, the Spirit of the Lord guided Solomon and the other writers of the Proverbs to put these down so that they might be retained and used in our lives. Proverbs are to be regarded, by the way, and this is important, as truisms. They're not promises. Please keep this in mind. Let me give you an example. Proverbs are true statements, but they're not specific promises. Let me give you an example. Many verses in Proverbs suggest that calamity comes to the wicked and prosperity comes to the righteous. Proverbs 11:8 says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Now, that's a truism. Those who do wicked things often find themselves in big trouble. But sometimes believers, those who know the Lord, experience troubles and trials. That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are other portions of Scripture that discuss that. And sometimes wicked people, people who don't know and love God, they prosper. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 3, the psalmist said, Lord, it bothers me to see the prosperity of the wicked. And he starts writing that psalm. He said, it really bothers me. I know back in New Jersey, We have a lot of things that we're famous for, and one of them is we have a lot of mafia driving around in nice cars. And we, when we were kids, they were pointed out. You know, look, they hang out together. There's certain areas they were in, and they were prosperous. They had a lot of money. They got it illegally most of the time, and their lives were horrible in many, many ways. However, sometimes wicked people do prosper in the sense of money, things like that, and trouble sometimes comes into the lives of those who are righteous. So what we're saying is these proverbs, they're generally true. They're working out things that are principles in life, and it is also true that they're not specific promises. So don't say, "Well, Lord, I'm your servant, so therefore I should be rich." The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that at all. Wisdom is the theme for the whole book of Proverbs. It's awesome. Wisdom encompasses, by the way, not only what we know and not only what we do, but wisdom takes in the area of some things that we don't do. And that's why I like this reference in Proverbs 14:16, where it says, "The wise fear the Lord, and they shun, run away from evil." Proverbs, an awesome, awesome portion of the Word of God. Now, we're going to go into a quick study this morning to encourage dads, moms as well, but especially dads. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, you're familiar with the passage. It's called the Shema. It starts with the word "hear." "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." There's only one true and living God. Allah is not God. Buddha is not a God. There's only one true and living God, and it's the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the one who has revealed himself in Scripture. And then Moses continued to write and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words shall be in your heart, and then you shall teach them diligently to your children." And we're just reminding ourselves, dads and grandfathers and moms as well, however, that we have the responsibility to teach our children about God. We cannot rely solely on their coming. And I thank the Lord for the teachers at LBC, Sunday school teachers, children's workers. We're blessed. We are. We're blessed. But a parent should not rely only on the teaching that a child gets at church or at youth group or at children's classes. We as parents are responsible to teach our children. And I know you grandparents also look for opportunities to share the truth of God. We're going to see in just a couple moments some interesting truths, very important truths in the book of Proverbs. In fact, it's very interesting. I heard that there was a debate on this in a group of people south of here this past week. What was the debate about? Well, the debate was about, is it really the primary responsibility of a father to teach the children? You answer that question, but do it on the basis of Psalm 78, verse 5. And I'm going to turn there. I'm going to keep my hand in Proverbs. Psalm 78, verse 5. I heard that this was an actual debate among some believers this week. Do fathers have the primary responsibility to teach the children? Well, there's an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. Doesn't mean moms don't have a part in teaching children. They certainly do. But notice what it says, Psalm 78, verse 5. "For God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children." And there's three results. Number one, when children are taught by fathers of the principles of God and things about God, that they might set their hope in God. You see, a dad and a mom are able to say, "You know, I'm really trusting the Lord for this." Anytime you tell your children, "I'm trusting the Lord for this or for that or for something else," you can count on it. They are listening. And they're going to want to see how this works out that you're trusting the Lord for. It's very important. that they may trust the Lord, put their hope in the Lord. Number two, not forget the works of God. We talk about the things that God has done. And number three, and that we might keep, and that they rather might keep his commandments. So you have Psalm 78, talks about fathers having that primary responsibility. Then you have Ephesians 6:4, where it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And there are a number of dads here today who would testify, you know, I'm not a perfect dad. Hey, by the way, there's no perfect dads and perfect moms. If you can find one, let's have them come up and give their testimonies up here. A perfect dad and a perfect mom, we are not. We're not perfect as believers. It's amazing God wants to use us, but no, not to perfection. With God's help, we have the enablement to communicate the things that God wants us to communicate. Awesome truth in the Word of God. Now, let's touch upon some of these truths that God wants us to communicate to our children. 8 specific principles, okay? And the interesting thing is, when you read Proverbs, you see that the Holy Spirit guiding Solomon to write, and the other writers in Proverbs, gives spiritual truth, which actually works out, spiritual wisdom, which actually works out into very practical wisdom. In other words, there are many things that are spiritually taught to us by the Lord that work out in the practical everyday activity of life. Here's the first one we're going to name and mention in the brief time we have, all 8. Number 1, teach your children to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, we want our children to learn to reverence and to respect God. That's vitally important. To fear the Lord means to respect the Lord for who he is. In fact, there's a twofold aspect to the fear of the Lord. Number one is for our children to have reverence for God. And I'm amazed, I really am. When you talk to the children who come to Awana clubs and children who come to our church, and you hear them talk about the Lord. Sometimes when they come to Awana clubs, they don't know much about God. But after they're with you for a while, it's amazing how they can show respect to God. So the first aspect is reverence for God. The second aspect is that they would fear his displeasure. Children need to know that even from a very early age, that God is angry with the unrighteous. Now, that's an important term, by the way. God is going to deal with those who are unrighteous and unjust and those who hurt others. Key reference for that, by the way, is Psalm 7:11. It's very important, and I mentioned this in our class this morning. Sometimes Christian literature talks about God being kind and loving and gentle, and he is. But it leaves out the fact that little children need to understand that when they're disobeying mom and dad, they're disobeying God, and that's called sin. They need to understand what sin is. It doesn't mean we get on their case and hammer things at them and handle the subject in a very negative way. But children need to understand what sin is, and they need to understand that God is displeased with sin. In fact, that Psalm 7:11, wow, 7:11, says God is angry with the unrighteous every day. That's saying something. We realize God loves those who are lost, but you and I know as believers, does God appreciate those who are willfully disobeying him and in that hurting others? Very important. Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So we need to teach our children to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord, and realize that God does not want them disobeying. God wants them to be very careful about how they live. Secondly, teach your children to guard their minds. We're living in the age of the internet and the iPhone, and this principle is very important. Teach them to guard their minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And of course, the heart is the seat of the emotions and the intellect, and is often used in as a synonym for the mind. And we need to teach our children, especially in this day when there's such a tremendous onslaught of things that are opposed to God, that our children and our youth hear day after day. Someone has said it this way: never before in human history have the forces of evil waged a campaign to capture the minds on the scale that we have seen today. And I believe that's true. There's so much in the media. And we have to teach our children to guard their minds. There's an onslaught against righteous thinking and right thinking. And some of us were talking about this week. You know, if you are not for traditional marriage, if you're against same-sex marriage, you're a bigot and you're unloving and you're not kind. And that's not true. Christian people are some of the most caring people I've ever met in my life. They do things. There's a man on the radio talked about the fact that if I had two people, and he said, actually, I've known two people who are in a man-and-man relationship, and he said, look, I'll do anything for them. They need food. They have their cars broken down. They need help with their house. I'll do anything for them. But don't ask me to approve of their relationship. But I care for them. I pray for them. And, you know, probably nobody else is praying for them. We need to ask our children and help our children to guard their minds. The psalmist said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. They have to be very careful the things that they see, the movies that they go to, the things they see on the TV. On the positive realm, they need to be exposed to whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely. Think on these things. Thirdly, quickly, teach your children to choose good friends, helpful friends. Does the Bible encourage this? Absolutely. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, that's one translation, by the way. And another translation, I believe it's the NIV, says the companion of fools suffers harm. So our children and our grandchildren, we need to be careful the friends they choose, because they could choose friends that can lead them into things that will be harmful to them. I mean, the Bible's very clear on this. The Apostle Paul was concerned for the Corinthian believers. And he said this. The Apostle Paul said this. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so that your minds might be corrupted from pure devotion to Christ. Satan wants to control our minds. He wants to put things in there that are things that will pull us away from good, strong devotion to Christ. We need to teach our children to choose good friends, friends that will help them and encourage them. Fourthly, we need to teach our children to control their desires. We know this as well. Solomon said this, but he didn't do it. He did not do it. There's a very important verse in the New Testament. Teach your children to control their desires, their lusts even. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, Paul says to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Once again, you see how this one's related to our children and grandchildren's choice of friends. I'm going to read that verse again. Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we want our children to have some friends who call on the Lord, some friends who are saved, who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue these things, righteousness, faith, and love, with those. And that's why we need to fellowship with one another in the family of God right here in our own church fellowship. Wise parents realize that adolescents especially can develop strong passions, and we pray for them. We encourage them to understand that they need to keep these things under control. Very important. Fifthly, teach your children to watch their words. It was just this past week, for a man south of here, said his granddaughter came home from school one day and said to her parents, "I can't believe the language that I'm hearing in the locker room." She said, "It's rough. It's very rough." Well, we need to teach our own children to watch their words, to be careful to speak. And on the positive side of this is that their speech is good and helpful. And I'll mention this in just a minute. But Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from you deceitful mouth, and put away perverse lips from you." Proverbs 4:24 in New Living Translation says, "Avoid all perverse thought and stay away from corrupt speech." Teach them the power of saying good things to others. Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life." Where do you hear this one? Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many." And children can be taught this truth of watching their words in a positive way. When you say to them, you know, when you say something encouraging and helpful to another child or to an adult or to a teen, when you say something very positive, God can use that in their lives to encourage them and strengthen them and help them in their journey through life. Very important. In fact, when it comes to their words, here's another aspect that's taught in the Proverbs. A lesson that's very important in relationship to their words. We need to reinforce with our children the importance of telling the truth. And I've talked to moms and dads, and I've been there myself. And one of the hardest things you have to endure is when your child lies to you. And there's just something about it. Just something about it. And it hurts. And yet it can be a teaching time to teach them, listen, God says he's a God of truth, and he always tells the truth, and he wants you to be a person of the truth. So there are ways we can communicate, but it's very hard. They need to understand that they are not to be lying. Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." And on the positive side, you say, you know, when you speak truth, when you encourage others, God is so pleased with you when you do these things. Very, very important. Number six, quickly, teach your children how to work. I got to do it. How many of you were encouraged or taught by your parents to work hard? Let me see your hands go up. Wow. That is awesome. I mean, that's all of us. It's so important. And I mentioned that a teen I know who was working at a place, and she said kids would come in and didn't want to do anything and didn't want to take the trash out. You know, it's a biblical principle to encourage our children to work. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, no overseer, and no ruler, provides her supplies in the summer." In other words, I don't like ants. I hate, especially the kind you have here in Texas. What are they called?
Fire.
Yeah, fire. We don't have them in New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey's got a lot of problems, all right? But we don't have fire ants there. Okay, as the psalmist said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, because the ant works hard during the summer, knowing that winter's coming, and there's no boss there." See, a lot of people will work hard while the boss is looking. I've seen that over the years. Boy, God wants us to be enjoying our work and working to please the Lord. Okay, Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." Teach your children how to work. And very quickly, teach your children to manage their money well. Boy, that's a good one, managing their money. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand on this one. No raising of hands. My parents taught us about money. And they also taught us about giving to the Lord. A lot of children haven't been taught that they're to give something to the Lord. My parents, we had an allowance, and I still remember what it was, by the way, way back there in the 50s. And they would set quarters on the dining room table. Sometimes there were four quarters. And they would say, you know, this, take this to Sunday school. And we did. It's part of your allowance. But learn to give to the Lord. And children miss out. Sometimes adults miss out because they fail to give to God. And you know, you've heard this many, many times, the account in the New Testament where the Lord was in the temple area and people were dropping all kinds of money. And this widow in the offering, but this widow came along and she dropped in two mites. And Jesus said she gave more than all the rest of these who gave just because they wanted to be heard. And they used to drop their money in a horn that made noise. She gave more than all the rest of these. She gave willingly and from her heart. And that's something we need to teach children. And I'm not going to go any verses on this next one. I'm just going to throw it in, not to make you feel guilty. But my parents also encouraged us, here we go, to save, S-A-V-E, to save. I think young children should have bank accounts. I really do. And when they get that $50 from grandpa, they don't go down to the store and buy $50 worth of candy. They save it. And you've heard, I'm not in finances. Anybody know the rule of 72? Anybody in finances here? Yeah, okay, couple people. Yeah, if your children start saving now when they're young, by the time they're 60, I mean, they'll be richer than any of us who are here this morning. That was an exaggeration. But they will be. They will be. The interest in, oh man, it's amazing. Teach your children to manage money. Lastly, quickly, teach your children to love their neighbors. Remember the Lord Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're living in a world. I prayed with several people this week. Some are in this fellowship, the men's prayer group. There's so much hatred in our world, and it's growing. Hatred to people in Washington. Hatred to others around. God, it's not what God wants. And he wants us to be those who are caring and loving. It's so vitally important. And it's a proverb, Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power, the power of your hand to do it. So we teach our children, look, you can be a blessing to our neighbors. Speak to them. Say hi to them. Learn to get to know them. It's very important. Very important. And sometimes children are not taught in these areas. Eight specific things. Eight specific proverbs. Which fathers and mothers can teach their children so that they will grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Again, a parent's primary task is to teach children about the Lord himself. And God will, in a wonderful way, bless whatever you communicate, even if it's over the phone or when they're at your house. Mark it down today, this morning. Father's Day, that God's going to bless that which you teach your children or grandchildren about the Lord. The Holy Spirit's going to come and take what you say and put it into their hearts and minds. A father's and a mother's primary task in the family is to teach them about the Lord. Let's pray together.